There is a saying, you get what you pay for. It's a saying very relevant to this time of year. You get what you pay for. I find myself in new territory with Christmas shopping this year. I have to buy cookware, apparently. And not, of course, not for me. This is a gift. I don't know anything about, like, you can tell me you get what you pay for, and that does not help me. Because you know that can mean different things. So you get what you pay for can mean, usually what it means is, if you pay for quality, you're going to get quality. If you don't pay for quality, you will not get it. But sometimes you get what you pay for means you just paid for a name brand, and that's what you got. I'm personally not interested in that, although I do wonder if Gordon Ramsay cookware, which came up on my YouTube feed, is any good or not. I don't know. And there's kind of this sense that, like, don't try to cut corners when you go to buy something. If it's really important to you, don't cut corners. Along those lines, I've heard priests say you get what you pray for. If you're not really praying well, if you're not fasting when you do, if you're not, you know, if there's no perseverance, you get what you pray for. Be intentional. Like, don't just have this thought of, oh, I hope God actually helps me out with this. No, actually talk to Jesus about the thing that you want the help with. Have a conversation with him. You know, you get what you pray for. Be specific. Lord, what about this specific thing right here? Okay? If you pray vaguely or not very much, guess what you're going to get? Not much of a sense of what the Lord wants. Okay? I mean, it doesn't mean that if you don't know how to pray that you can't start. Of course you can start with, even if you don't know exactly how to pray. But you get what you pay for, you get what you pray for. I would say, like, those are good things to think about. But this season, what I think the Lord wants us to think about is you get what you prepare for. You will receive what you are prepared to receive. You get what you prepare for. Or if you want to, you get what you prep for, if you like that. Some of you like the ring of that a little bit. When we have all of these things, right? December is one of those months that for, I think, a significant chunk of America is like, okay, today's December 1st, and tomorrow it's like December 24th. Like, it's like, wait, what is it? Wait, how do we lose 4 weeks, 3.5 weeks? It just seems to melt away. We are busy this month, more than any other. We're definitely spending more money. I don't remember what the thing was from last year about how much of the economy, like every retail business gets into the black this month, but it's not just because it's the end of the year, it's because we're buying everything. We're preparing for parties, gifts, exchanges of gifts, for, you know, seeing your family or for, you know, I don't know, there's all these ways that we prepare on the surface, okay? And I'm a fan of almost all of them. Like, I'm a fan of giving and receiving gifts at Christmas. I'm a fan of people putting Christmas lights on their houses. And I'm a fan of Christmas parties. Although I don't know if I'm a fan of them during Advent. And I just want to give everyone here blanket permission that your pastor said that any Christmas party that you don't want to attend, you are allowed to say, well, my pastor said I shouldn't go to that. It's during Advent. Okay? Because so many people go to all these Christmas parties and they don't necessarily want to. Would you do this for the Christmas party? When's that? Oh, it's December 18th. Oh, I'm sorry. That's during Advent. I can't help you with that. That is a totally valid answer. That's a totally valid answer. You know why? People are going to spend so much time getting ready for and executing Christmas parties during Advent that they're not going to be prepared for Christmas. I mean, it's a thing. Okay, it's a whole big thing. Now, where does our culture get it right? There's two really main areas where the culture gets it right. Taking care of the poor and needy, and family. All right? But I want you to think about what are you preparing for when you do those things, the way that you execute those things. Nothing against gift giving either. That's great too. I like that. But what are you preparing for? Okay? Are you preparing to receive Jesus at the center of your life? Are you preparing to receive Jesus at the center of your family and home? Are you preparing to receive Jesus in the way that you receive the poor and needy and take care of them? What is it? Where does Jesus, we're living in between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ, right? We're not preparing for Jesus to come at Christmas. That already happened. You're 2,000 years late, okay? We are preparing to receive Jesus today and when he comes again. And what is it that prepares us to receive him? Where does Jesus want to be? Jesus, God comes where he is welcomed, where he is invited, okay, and where he is expected. It's very simple. He comes where he's welcomed, invited, and expected. And expecting him has to do with faith. It has to do with trust. It has to do with me saying, I'm not going to let, what was the reading about the cares? Beware that your hearts don't become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life. And that day catch you by surprise like a trap. Okay? Expecting him. That expectancy. That has to do with trusting that he'll show up when Lord, I need your help. If I say that without faith, it doesn't really help me. Okay? But if I say that with great faith and trust in the Lord, Lord, I need your help. That's a very powerful thing to say. That's a powerful request because it's made in faith. So we have to trust in Jesus that the daily anxieties are not bigger than he is, that they're not more present to us than he is. Okay? He's with us always, even to the end of the age, right? What we're celebrating at Christmas is the fact that God is with us. Emmanuel means God with us. He is here. We're celebrating that and receiving that first coming with faith so as to be prepared for his second coming. Well, how do I have faith in that? Well, he's with me. I have to trust that. You have to trust that. Without that, anxieties do choke out any chance that we have for peace, for joy, to receive the Lord. We just start trying to do everything on our own. And we don't really have any room or time or attention for Jesus. But what are we preparing? If we're preparing to receive him, we need this expectancy. We need this trust. The second thing is Jesus, or the other two things, he comes where he's expected, where he's invited and welcomed. What welcomes Jesus? You know, the way that you take care of the poor and needy is the way that you take care of Jesus. They aren't literally him, but he says, whatever you do for them, you did it for me. What welcomes him is taking care of the poor and the needy. And that often means, and you know, the materially poor. Are you working this Advent to take care of the poor and the needy in such a way as to be resting from your labors on Christmas Day? Or are you spending all of Advent preparing for a party on Christmas Day? One of them welcomes Jesus. The other one kind of doesn't. Kind of puts him in second place. Okay? What is where Jesus is invited? Well, that has everything to do with prayer. Everything to do with prayer. Obviously, if we don't pray, we won't actually have enough love and kindness and charity for our family. And how is Jesus welcomed also has a lot to do with those who are maybe not materially poor, but they're poor in relationships. They're needy in terms of they don't have anywhere to be this Christmas. They don't have a lot of family to be with. Are they welcome at your table? If so, so is Jesus, right? And I hope that you're preparing to receive him. That's probably easier than receiving some of your in-laws or whatever sometimes, right? Don't say amen, okay? How do we do that? How do we love well? We have to do what Mother Teresa did, what St. Teresa of Calcutta did. She first offered herself to Jesus. Okay? We first have to be receiving Jesus, loving him, excited about him. And you know what happens when we give ourselves to him? It's like the bread that got multiplied when Jesus fed the 5,000. There's always enough charity for your family, for your in-laws, and it doesn't have to run out. It doesn't have to. Because Jesus loves them. And if he's welcome at your table, you love them, okay? It's not a concept. Oh, hypothetically, Jesus would be so welcome at my table. There's no hypothetical thing here. He can be at your table. this Christmas. He could be at your table, you know, every night at dinner when you eat dinner, you know. But, or at every other, you know, time this season where there's going to be friends or family gathering. He can be there. He wants to be there. How is he going to be there? By your invitation, by your welcome, by your love, by your charity, by in you, through you. And if we're preparing to welcome him, we're going to be ready. The Lord wants us to be ready for his return. He wants us to be ready for the moment of our death. He wants us to be ready to stand before the Son of Man. This season is about being prepared for that. A lot of the ways that we can do that, we, you know, the people talk about the Christmas spirit and all the holiday spirit. And a lot of those things, if we do them right and they're rightly ordered, we actually live in a culture that has been at times profoundly affected by Christ. And I won't stand here and say, oh, we live in such a Christian culture. We're working toward that. We need a culture of life, a culture of love, a culture of all of those things. But we actually are being encouraged in really good ways right now by the culture to pay attention to a couple of those things, but do them so as to welcome Christ, which is to say, welcome him first. And then spend this time preparing well. I don't know about you, but I've been at holidays, let's call them holiday time of year celebrations, whether Christmas or Thanksgiving or something else, where the food wasn't totally perfect, but the company was amazing. There was love, there was joy, there was peace in the home and in the group. I've been at some other ones where the food might have been perfect, but there was a lot of fighting and a lot of that. And I was like, man, I don't want to be here. I just don't feel very welcome here. You don't feel welcome when it's like that, okay? And I don't think Jesus feels very welcome either. What are you preparing to receive? If he's at your table, what a gift. Prepare to receive him. Prepare in such a way as to receive Jesus.